This week, I was talking to many women who were given the same terrible marketing advice. They were told all they need to do to get visibility for their business, to grow and get more clients, was to just show up on Instagram, to go live on Instagram stories every single day. And they were so frustrated because every time they asked that particular coach slash expert why this wasn't working, they just said, well, you just need to do more of it. If you have been in the same boat where you feel like you're doing more and more marketing, but it's just not getting the results that you're looking for, then keep on listening, because in today's episode, we are going to break down the top three reasons why your marketing isn't working, and most importantly, how you can start to turn it around. Are you ready to grow from solopreneur to CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent the last decade helping women entrepreneurs start and scale service-based businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me each week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey CEO, I am so excited to kick off this series all about marketing and having effective marketing that works for your business. This is such an interesting topic and I'm really excited to dive into it because I've had all of these conversations recently and it feels like the prevailing advice out in the marketing world is to do the latest trendy tip, trick, or tactic and to do more of it. That the answer to your marketing problems are simply on jumping on the latest trend or posting more, creating more content, doing more things, adding more and more and more and more and more to your marketing to-do list. The problem is, this is not necessarily going to yield the results that we're looking for. Like, we need to be a little more strategic about this. We have been conditioned to believe that more is better. More marketing must equal better results, right? If we can show up on every single platform, if we can do every single thing, then we will get where we want to go. The challenge is trying to be everywhere and adding more to our to-do list is probably working against us. When the focus is simply on adding more marketing to the mix, it usually is just contributing to more noise instead of actually cutting through the noise and reaching our ideal clients. So what if instead we had a different approach to our marketing, where instead of trying to be everywhere and do everything, instead we have a do less and do better approach, where we're making sure that all of our marketing is strategic, aligned with our businesses, and aligned with what works for our potential clients. When we're able to cut through all of the noise, we can get better results without feeling like we need to spend the rest of our lives just on social media or being a full-time marketer. So if that makes sense for you, if you're on the same page with me, I want you to head over to the show notes, rachelcook.com/show, and I'm going to have an assessment for you to go with today to talk about the top mistakes that most of the entrepreneurs I'm seeing are struggling with that is holding their marketing back from getting the results they're looking for. And when you go through this assessment, you'll have more clarity on how we can have more effective marketing. So go to rachelcook.com/show. You'll get the assessment, the marketing assessment, and we'll be able to make some shifts. These aren't going to require you to do more work, but in fact, they're going to help you do less work and get better results. Okay, so now that you've downloaded that assessment, you can go through it with me. So the first mistake I tend to see is a lack of clarity. And what I mean by that is you're putting messaging out there, you're putting marketing out there in front of people, and they are not taking an action. It's not getting a response. So you may be publishing email newsletters or sending out emails to an email list, and you're not seeing not only maybe people not opening them, but they're not clicking to take the action you want them to take in the email. They're not clicking to read the blog post. They're not clicking to listen to your show. They're not clicking to learn more about what it is that you do. Okay, they're not taking an action. Or maybe you're posting on social media and you're not getting engagement. So that it's not even that they're not liking it. It's that they're not commenting on it, or they're not direct messaging you about it. They're not tagging you about things. They're not engaging in some sort of way on your social media. Or you're posting on social media about what you do and you're not seeing those people get off social media and get onto your calendar, or get off social media and get into checking out your work. So looking at the sales page for your product, program, or service. You might be showing up in a lot of different places. Maybe you're going after media, or you're doing interviews, or you're writing guest posts, and you're not seeing the results from that. You're not seeing people go from the talk that you gave to booking on your calendar. You're not seeing people go from hearing you as a guest interview on someone else's podcast to checking out the work that you have. So if you're putting marketing out into the world and people are not clicking, they're not taking action, it's not getting any response, then there's a good chance your marketing message is not clear. And when it's not clear, people don't know why they should take that next step. So I usually see this for two reasons. The first is the curse of expertise. And I struggle with this just as much as anyone else. I think this is a common problem, especially if you've been doing your work for a long time, you have a lot of training in this area. When we struggle with the curse of expertise, we often tend to use language that is expert language. It is language that our customers, however, do not understand, simply because they don't know as much as you do, right? So if there's a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being an absolute beginner and 10 being someone who is well-trained and has a lot of experience in this topic, if you are speaking at a level 10, then you're really only speaking to people who are at the same level you are, who are that level expert. You're using terminology that other people who are also experts most likely understand, but that your average consumer doesn't. So I see this all the time when people put out very specific marketing messaging talking about a problem that the expert understands that that's the problem, but your potential clients might not realize that's their actual problem. They're not there yet. They don't know enough about the topic. They know there's a problem, but they don't actually realize the connection between what you're talking about and what they are thinking, what they would describe that problem as. And the reason this happens is because usually they don't realize that's the real problem. They're thinking of the symptom that they're struggling with, right? So they're focused on the symptom, not the core underlying problem. And there's an education gap here. So we've got to educate people to make sure that we're meeting them where they are, that we're actually talking about the same thing, that they understand why we could help them. I often see this because I have a lot of clients who are in the health and wellness space, a lot of dietitians and nutritionists and mobility experts. And so, of course, they have a lot of more technical language, scientific language to describe the challenges that someone might be having. But if that person doesn't know that that's the underlying problem, they would completely miss it. So a great example of this is someone who is working with women around solving different challenges they might be having, that they might use words like or describe problems like endometriosis. Maybe the reason you're struggling with all of these things is you have endometriosis. And so all over their marketing, they're like, I'm the endometriosis expert. But for someone who's never heard of that or not received that diagnosis yet, they might not make the connection between the discomfort they're feeling or the really heavy periods they're having or any other challenges, any other symptoms of endometriosis. So when they land on that page, they might be thinking, okay, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is me yet. I don't know if this is my problem. So that curse of expertise, we need to kind of meet them where they are a little bit more. Now, the other challenge is trying to be cute or clever or creative in your language, in your marketing messages. And it's just confusing instead. So this type of messaging can be appealing, but I promise you, clarity always will trump clever. Clarity will always trump cute. Clarity will always trump creativity. So you have to look out for the language that your clients actually use to describe their problems and their needs and reflect that back in your messaging. If you're using very flowery words to describe your work, I tend to see this a lot when people make up job titles or they make up titles for themselves, and their potential clients are like, I don't really understand what that is. So we need to make sure everything is very clear and everything is very concrete in your messaging. So how can you fix this lack of clarity? The good news is you don't have to sit there and just try to figure this out yourself. The best way to fix the lack of clarity is to talk to people. Talk to your clients. And we're going to have an episode coming up about this. And I also had another episode on the podcast about this. One of my amazing longtime clients, Tammy Hackbarth, took this challenge I gave her and absolutely ran with it. It was to interview 100 women who would potentially be, you know, ideal clients for her, and just really talk with them, really get to understand what was happening for them. So Tammy is a self-care coach, and she interviewed 100 women about why they struggle with self-care. And what was fascinating is Tammy thought she knew the reasons why her clients were experiencing difficulty with self-care, with making self-care a priority. But after interviewing 100 women and current clients, former clients, people connected to her clients, she learned that there was a disconnect. They were describing something different than she was. They had a different perspective, again, because she is the expert and this is her area of expertise. And where they were just two different places. This also happened for Mado Hesselink, who you're going to hear from in an upcoming episode in the next few weeks here, when she was working with yoga entrepreneurs, yoga business owners, and went out there and interviewed a bunch of yoga teachers and discovered, okay, these are the things that they're really struggling with to become successful yoga teachers. This new perspective really helped both of them figure out why their marketing wasn't resonating, why it wasn't working, why maybe their offers weren't landing for people, and get the clarity they needed to tweak the messaging to meet those people exactly where they are, because now they had the language from the mouths of their potential clients describing their needs, their concerns, where they were stuck, what they had tried before, what they actually described when they were describing their problem. Again, it was usually a symptom, and the underlying challenges, like the underlying mindset challenges that were coming up for them. So if you're struggling with this, if people aren't taking action, it's probably because the message isn't clear enough. And we need to fix that not by getting into our top secret entrepreneur cave and trying to wordsmith everything. We need to fix that by actually just talking to real people. This is a process, takes work, but this is market research. And if we don't have clear messaging, everything else you do is not going to make an impact. Doesn't matter if you try a different marketing tactic, if you try to post more, if the message is not resonating, we got to fix the clarity problem. Okay, the next common mistake I see is a lack of consistency. A lack of consistency. So be honest with yourself. How consistent are you with your marketing? I usually see this because we get busy with clients. We get busy with other projects. We get busy with the delivery of our work. But that often leads to this feast or famine cycle. As those projects finish up, those clients end their agreements, you get that project off your plate, and then you're in that hustle mode to try to get more clients. You're just suddenly going all out in your marketing again, trying to get more people to buy from you. But if your audience is going to trust you, if they're going to build that trust, then they need to have you showing up consistently for them. That know-like trust comes from consistently showing up with your messaging, with your marketing, in your engagement. And building this trust, it does take time, right? You only really trust someone when they are showing up consistently. But when they disappear and then only show up when they're pitching something, when something's available for sale, or when they're asking for more clients, it's really easy to feel like, nope, not that interested, because I'm not getting value from this relationship. It's like the value equation has gotten kind of cattywampus here, where they're only showing up when they're pitching and not giving enough value in between. So we got to build in some consistency in our marketing. We got to make sure that when we know what is working for us, we're showing up consistently on a regular basis. Now, consistency doesn't mean you have to do more. It just means we have to set an expectation for how we're going to show up. So how can we fix a lack of consistency? Honestly, this is so unsexy, but we need to create and stick to a calendar. We need to decide how often we are going to show up in the different marketing channels that we have and stick to that. It's not about more, it's about being consistent. So it's not about how often, but just consistently doing the same thing. So I decide, how often are you going to share your core content? Okay, your core content, your core channel is usually going to be something like a newsletter, a podcast, a blog, a video show. This is where you're showing off your best work, right? This is where the majority of your nurture content is going to be. We need to decide what your core content is going to be and how often you're going to show up with it. I do this weekly on my podcast, at least once a week. Sometimes we bump up, but usually at least once a week. That is sustainable for me. That is manageable for my team. We're able to do it at the same consistency without too much problem. Now, for some people, once a week is too much for their core content, because again, this isn't a social media post. This is your core content. This is where you're really showcasing your best stuff. So maybe if for you, once a week is too much, okay, cool. Let's do every other week. I would rather you reduce frequency, but maintain the consistency. Okay. The other thing that you want to think about is other marketing channels that you have. So how often are you going to post on those? If you're doing social media, which I know many of you are, how many times are you showing up on social media? How many times are you showing up in each of those social media channels? What does that need to look like? What is the minimum, and what is where you're just stretching yourself too thin? I always would rather reduce frequency but maintain consistency. What I tend to see is people overestimate how much they can show up consistently, and they come up with a plan based on especially looking at other entrepreneurs. They'll look at someone who is showing up every single day on social media, who's showing up every week with a newsletter and with a new episode, and then they'll put themselves on this calendar that they just can't keep up with. And the all or nothing mindset starts to kick in, and they're just like, forget it, I'm taking a break, I'm not doing anything. And then suddenly months go by and they haven't been showing up. So I would rather you drop frequency but maintain consistency. If a weekly core content is too much, do every other week. If posting 5 days a week on social media is too much, post 2. If doing a weekly newsletter is too much, do every other week. I would rather you stay consistent, okay, and build the trust than completely fall off the face of the earth. And then you're always having to overcompensate for disappearing. The third mistake is the lack of a marketing strategy that aligns with the customer journey, okay? This is a big one, And you have heard me likely talk about this before, especially if you listen to the Path to Predictable Profit series. If you have my CEO planner, we talk about this one a lot. We talk about this one a lot because where I often see people struggle is they're talking to the same people over and over and over and over again, and they're not thinking about how people actually interact with them. So is your community growing or is it shrinking? If it's not growing, chances are it is shrinking because we all deal with attrition. We all have people who join our community. So they join our email list or they follow us on social media, something like that. And then they unfollow us at some point, right? No problem. Like people decide this isn't for me anymore or I no longer have that challenge. So they naturally fall off. But if we are not doing the work to replace those people in our community, then we end up with a stagnant number of people. And over time, we are pitching the same thing to the same people over and over and over again. And it leads to burnout. It leads to a point where you've burned out your list, where there's no other real buyers in that community. I see this happen a lot when entrepreneurs are pitching the same thing over and over and over again, but they're getting smaller and smaller results because they haven't been spending time thinking about their overall community, their overall marketing strategy as it relates to the customer journey. So the customer journey is the path that potential and current clients take in relation to your business. Your marketing works in a few different steps here, and we have to be thinking about this in order to make sure that we're getting the results that we're looking for. So we can't fix a sales problem, a customer acquisition problem, without also considering the marketing and without also considering all these different pieces. There are five stages of this customer journey: attract, engage, nurture, invite, delight. We all start with attract and end with delight. It is a process people are going through. The mistake I see over and over again is when entrepreneurs only focus on nurture. So let's talk about each of these stages just so you know what they are, and then we're going to dig into the specific challenge. So attract is getting out in front of new potential clients who have never heard of you before. There are really only three core attract strategies. One is search engine optimization, people finding you when they're actively searching online or they're searching for that particular problem. The second is other people's audiences. This includes referrals. This includes being interviewed on other shows. This includes media. This includes anything where you're showing up in front of someone else's existing audience to get to know those people for the very first time. And the final is paid advertising. So search engine optimization, other people's audiences, advertising. Those are all about getting in front of brand new people who've never heard of you before and bringing them into the entire customer journey. So actually attracting them into your business. The next stage is engage. This is where if that person heard you on the local morning news show, or they clicked your Facebook ad, or they found your blog post because they were Googling, then they click on your website or they come towards your business. And now we actually want to engage with them. We want to get their contact information so we can continue marketing to them, so we can continue building that relationship. This is all about contact information. In most of our businesses, this is going to look like an email list, but in some businesses, this could look like getting a phone number. This could look like getting a mailing address. This could look like getting a request for a proposal or a request for consult, something along those lines. But it's about an actual exchange of information is happening here. Then we move into the next stage, and this is where the bulk of our efforts usually go, and this is nurture. Nurture is when someone has heard about you and now they want to learn more about you. They're trying to see, is this person someone who can actually help me? Do they have the experience or expertise that I need? Can they solve the problem I have? In this nurture bucket, this is where most of our consistent marketing is coming up because we're building relationships. Then we get to invite, where the sales is actually happening. We're letting people know the next step towards working with us, whether it's through an online invitation strategy, online sales. It could be through having a conversation and having a sales call. Whatever the sales mechanism is, we're inviting people. We're actually telling them how they can work with us. And then finally, they're a paying client, so delight. This is where we follow through. We deliver the product, program, or service. We offer an amazing customer experience. We surprise and delight them in order to have customer retention, customer results, and ultimately get rave reviews, referrals, and repeat business. Okay, so we just went over the entire journey that people go through in relation to our business. The mistake I see again and again and again is when people only focus on nurture content. They're only talking to their existing audience. And this becomes a massive problem over time because you end up getting all of the potential clients you were ever going to get from that group of people. Not everyone there is going to work with you. And then they're wondering why they're not getting new clients. They're wondering why they're launching the same thing again and again and no one else is buying it. So what's missing is the attract piece. What's missing is usually the activity on the very front end of this customer journey. This is why I get so frustrated with the advice that all you need to do is show up more on social media. All you need to do is send more emails. All you need to do is more. They're not talking about is how are you actually getting in front of new people, right? So showing up more on social media, creating more content, that's just creating more work for you. We need to choose an attract strategy and implement it. This is how we fix the entire problem on the very front end of our marketing system. So we need to attract new people into our audience. We need to attract new people into our audience. And we're going to talk about this more in an upcoming episode. Like I said, there's really three primary ways that we can get new people into our audience. But if we're not dedicating time to this, if we're only focused in that nurture bucket and we're not focused on the activities that attract new people into our audience, then we will end up in a situation where our potential clients are no longer converting. We've completely gotten all the clients out of that group that you're going to possibly get. So we have to shift our focus. This is why for a lot of people that I work with, as we're building out their marketing strategies inside of the collective, I tend to using all three of these to assess like what's going on in their marketing. Why is this not working for them? We tend to actually drop the frequency of their nurture marketing in order to free up the time and energy they need to then go attract more people. So a great example of this is my dear friend and client, and I'm now her client, Angie Trueblood. Angie Trueblood is a visibility strategist, and she has a company where she helps people pitch themselves for podcasts. Well, when she was working with me last year on her own business, we realized that she was not going out there and attracting enough new business for herself, which is why she was stuck for a while. So I said, you need to drop the frequency of your own podcast. When she decided she wanted to offer a podcast, I said, let's not do a weekly podcast. Let's stick to every other week. And in the weeks where you would have produced a podcast, you're going to go be on someone else's podcast. And this is how we fix that problem. It wasn't about doing more. It was about making sure we were doing more of the right things, doing more of the attract strategy, and showing up consistently in both. So I hope as you've listened through this episode and you downloaded the assessment related to these things, I'm going to have some additional questions in that assessment to help you figure out exactly where things might not be working for you, that you've pinpointed a few things you can start to tweak. Because marketing should not become this all-consuming thing that is the only thing you need to do in your business. Like, it really isn't. There's so much more going on in your business behind the scenes that we have to make sure our marketing is effective. And when you have effective marketing, you don't have to spend all your time trying to figure out what to do. You don't have to keep throwing spaghetti at the wall. You don't have to question, should I get on TikTok because that's what everybody's obsessed with right now. Like, there's always going to be new things that people are obsessed with. There's always going to be those people who are talking about the latest and greatest, and there's always going to be people out there telling you should be everywhere. But you don't have to do those things. Unless your whole game plan is to become a full-time marketer, you need to focus on what actually moves the needle and what actually gets results for you. So I hope this episode was helpful. I hope the assessment helps you pinpoint how and where you can start to make some shifts in your overall marketing. If you enjoyed this episode, I want to hear from you. I want you to take a screenshot of today's episode and post it on Instagram, which is my favorite social media platform to connect with you all. And tag me at rachel.cook. Let me know your biggest aha. Let me know which of those areas were the ones that you're going to focus on improving in order to see better results without doing more marketing. Again, for the full show notes, head over to rachelcook.com/show. We've got the assessment there for you to download so that your marketing can be more effective. And if you don't want to miss any future episodes, especially this month where we're talking all about marketing and how to get better results, make sure you are subscribed to the show. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Promote Yourself to CEO. We'll talk to you next week.